Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You know, I mentioned earlier about if the suit won the lottery, you'd try to get suit light into USC. I guess the other day they posed suit light on a rowing machine. I guess they're trying to do what... Just try to be preemptive.
Works on that upper body strength.
I said posing. I didn't say using.
Oh, okay. Suit light with a gun show. Guns out, guns out.
Rudy Rose. All right, so let's get to our play-by-play call of the day.
Down low, Giannis pokes it away. Swing it out to Hill. Connaughton. Lob to Giannis. Slam it. Pat Connaughton set him up at the rim. Giannis grabbed it. Nailed it to the wood. 51-49.
Another big night for the Bucks. And Giannis Antetokounmpo. Very nice.
I think him and James Harden kind of a dead heat for NBA MVP.
Yeah. You'd be amazed how... stuff like that used to be a big deal to me. Like, oh, who's going to be the MVP? Now I could care less. And part of it is, you know what, believe it or not, part of it's how ESPN covers sports. I mean, they've gone so overboard in the NBA that made it a turnoff. And I love basketball, obviously. And I'll watch the NBA playoffs. But the way ESPN covers it, it's a turnoff. They don't understand moderation and less is more. They don't understand it. All right, let's bring in Neil Coulong. It's never any such deal with Neil to say less is more. We want more Neil Coulong. Hello, Neil.
It's great to be here as always. I feel like I get far more out of this than you guys do. So I apologize, but thank you.
Nah, believe me, we get more out of it from you. So, you know, and believe me, the audience does because they are so sick of hearing me talk. All right. So, and poor Tom, he's sitting over here. Yeah, you got that right. Okay.
Give me 20 minutes.
Can we give us, we'll do this like WINS in New York wins. Give us 20 minutes. We'll give you the world. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I want to get to the rules part. If you're sitting down with the rules committee in the, for the NFL, what suggestions would you make to them that you think could make the game better?
Stop making rules. I mean,
well, that's actually an interesting point. Go ahead. No, I it's not something I don't totally disagree with.
I just think top to bottom, the game is meant to be played a certain way. And I understand that there's a level of recency bias that will come from what I'm saying, but rules should adapt. They should kind of fit the direction of the game. And to that extent, I will defend the idea of what they're trying to do with the onside kick to say we changed kicking rules and the onside kick rule, you know, maybe that should be changed as well. I can support that intellectually.
Sure.
But overall, I don't know how much more you really want to change what they're doing. If you look at it from a broader perspective, they've changed a ton of rules over the last decade. If you were to go back and watch a game from, say, 2002,
that's right.
In many ways, it's not recognizable compared to what it is today. How much more of that do you want to do? Is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? I guess I don't know the answer to that, but it certainly should give them pause for thought. And more than anything, I hope that they would not approach the topic with, you know, less seriousness than they probably should. They shouldn't be, right, you know, tweaking rules right now for the sake of giving Mike Florio headlines to talk about. They really should look to better the game in and of itself. And what it is that some people will feel is better versus worse, I guess it will always be a subjective opinion. But I'm not sure that there's a whole lot they should change, that they could change, without fundamentally changing the game itself. And I'm worried about that top to bottom.
You know, there's certain things. I mean, eliminating all blindside blocks. Okay. All right. That's a safety issue. I've got that part. But the what I'm struggling with is, when it comes to the rules, is the expansion of instant replay. I'm watching, you know, we're all watching the NCAA basketball tournament right now. And when you sit there and you look at the NCAA basketball tournament, right, the entire flow of the game just stops because they've got to look at, for 2 minutes, at something. If you can't make up your mind in 30 seconds about the darn thing, move on. I mean, that's how I look at it, Neil. Move on. If you can't look at it in 30 seconds and go, okay, nah, geez, that's too hard to tell, move on.
I think it was Mike Holmgren that said this back when they initially brought out instant replay, and that the crude definition of it was 10 guys are in a bar watching the game on TV. All 10 of them agree that should be overturned. That's when replay has value.
Yes.
I think when the natural progression of that, though, has become, let's throw it to the booth and let the booth decide for themselves what they think is the right call. That, I think, gets away from the spirit of the game in and of itself. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this, too. There were calls in the AFC Championship game, that one Welker kick return issue that happened. There's no way replay could show whether or not he touched the ball. There's no way.
Right.
Therefore, replay should not be used to overturn the call on the field. And that's exactly what they did. Replay is supposed to be used as an instrument to show what definitively happened, but the official didn't happen to see. And the more and more we get away from that, the more and more we let cameras determine what happened after the fact, the more we trivialize the officials who are on the field, the longer the game gets, the less free flow mentality and feeling of the game we get. I think it ruins it. You know, I'm sick and tired of sitting around on Monday talking about the officiating. I really am.
Right.
I think a huge part of that is because we think everything would be better determined if we always looked at replay for everything. And that's to me, that's exactly what the owners are doing. And it's so NFL. It's so, legislating from the bench, determining after the fact what we could have done, and make these sweeping reforms without looking at long-term consequences of what that means. And that to me, that really defines the NFL over the last 10 years. You know, it's not Tom Brady. It's the massive regulation of the sport in and of itself.
Well, my esteemed co-host here has always made the best point out of all of them. He says, everybody in the stadium is sitting there and at home wondering if they – do I cheer now or not? I mean, the spontaneity of sport is something great happens, and you go, everybody, stop. All right, now they're going to look and see if he actually had the ball. Everybody, we got to stop and see if he got in. We got to stop and see. I mean, the spontaneity is not supposed to be just on the field. The spontaneity is supposed to be in the stands. It's entertainment.
Yeah, maybe to some degree, you have to trust the people who are on the field that are paid to make those calls. And I understand the animosity that comes with egregious no calls like we saw in the
Rams-Saints game. Yeah, the pass interference play or the targeting, whatever you want to call it.
I get that, but that is such an extreme outlier. I mean, come on. We didn't see that all season long. I know we all like to think that it was, but there's a huge difference, objectively speaking, from that call and any other 50-50 pass interference, no pass interference call that we saw all season. People will be up in arms and they'll scream about it, but in the end, it's supposed to be an objective opinion. A reasonably minded person understands that. Officials are not going to be, no one's going to agree with the official 100% of the time. There's no way that's ever going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
To put it back to our audience, the Steelers got, lack of a better term, screwed on a lot of non-calls against the Chargers.
Yes.
The game that I'm thinking.
That's true. Yep. The touchdown play that they got when they obviously moved on the right side. Yeah.
Yeah. That was bad. I'm not saying that these things aren't above reproach. I'm saying, though, that those are one-off individual issues that do not require a rule change. The second you open all of it up, in other words, what you're saying is every single pass interference call is like what we saw in the NFC Championship game. That's not true. That's flat out not true at all. It was a completely blown call at a really bad time.
No doubt.
And, oddly enough, as we saw later in the night, the team that won the coin toss didn't win the game.
That's right.
So they're also talking about that. It's like, why? Why are you doing it? My opinion, really no reason other than to feed a guy like Mike Florio even more headlines, to get conversation going so the league can kind of weigh that and see whether or not fans really think this should change, whether they think it shouldn't change. That's not a good way to run a business. Maybe that's just me, but you should have enough insight into your product, to your brand, to know what you should and shouldn't do. And more often than not, when you're as big as the NFL is and you've been as popular as the NFL has been, you shouldn't need to change this much year in and year out.
Right.
That's just me, though.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, when NFL replay came out, though, there was a similarity to what they were doing in college football. They actually had somebody there. I felt very strongly that if you're going to do this, Major League Baseball needs to have a fifth umpire up there with a crew, okay, up top looking at every play. So ahead of time, in case there's a challenge, we can get this thing done as quickly as possible. I feel the NFL ought to be doing the same thing. You've got to cut down the time, and I don't need the official coming over so you can promote Microsoft Surface, okay? Okay? You and I both know, okay? That's the fraud of this. Okay, the fraud of this is when the official has to come over and they show the Microsoft Surface there. Look, go up, have the extra official up there with a tech crew looking at every play to begin with anyway to say, if they come up here, we're ready to go. Right? And you got to cut down the time of what's going on, so you got to keep the games moving, and they don't keep the games moving. They're slowing it down to a crawl. It's an entertainment form, okay? And sitting there and waiting is not going to do it. At least the NFL announces to the crowd what the result is. College basketball foolishly does not.
Yeah, it's such a... They want to make it less about the product and more about the rule book. I for the life of me, I don't understand why you want to make something so legislative. There's enough of that in society. There are plenty of people that want to watch football, that want to kind of escape into the fantasy of pro football, being united by your team's flag above everybody else. You want to have that. But when you get into, really, in my opinion, it's not all that much different than pro wrestling. You want to dip into these, I don't want to say small, but oftentimes they're technicalities to the rules of the game. That doesn't inspire people to like what you're doing. It inspires people to be angry, and people don't come back for that. There's no reason to do it that way. They don't need to do it. They can have the athletic display that we see in every game across the NFL. They could do that just fine if they didn't worry about this stuff. But it's like, they care so much about the public image when it comes to pass interference, and care so little about other more socially tied issues.
Yeah.
They don't know whether they're coming or they're going. Yeah. And we've talked about this, I don't know how many times over the years, but the leadership in the NFL, I don't know how many other companies that can boast the amount of gross revenue the NFL produces with such poor and transparent leadership. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But, now look, without this, we wouldn't have pylon cam.
I think it's fun. I think it's fun. But the problem is,
I do too. Except it's usually
is
useless.
The frame by frame analysis. Well, did the tip of the ball really touch the goal line?
Right.
Who cares? Come on.
Okay. Did the little toe hit the sideline? Okay.
Yeah,
Did the ball go off his fingertip out of bounds? Oh, look! I think I saw a change in the rotation of the ball. I'm like, oh, God, so what are we doing?
That's exactly what
I mean. Let's just go. Stop trying to be perfect. Stop trying to be perfect. The only perfect entity out there is this show, and you know it.
The show aside, and absolutely I agree with that, but this is a league that measures in a completely inaccurate and archaic fashion 10 yards from the previous spot of the ball. None of that.
Right.
Is even remotely objective.
Of course not.
Okay? It's all completely by line of sight, which we've seen it plenty of times.
Right.
And the guys in the NFL do it better than anybody else.
Right.
I've watched high school. Believe me, those guys, oh, man, I feel bad for them.
Yes,
they are grossly wrong in many ways.
Sure.
That's a part of the game.
Right.
You know? The frailty of it. I'm not saying that it's inexcusable. I'm just saying that it is obviously an inbred part of what the sport is. And to some degree, you have to just accept the fact the subjective opinion of people who are placed in charge to make subjective opinions has to rule. You can't take a look at everything. And in non-pass interference calls, being open to challenges, that's a death sentence to the sport
that
shouldn't be
good.
Played out as long already as it is.
I think you can learn lessons from other levels. And I've felt for years that the pass interference rule in the NFL, college is a 15-yard penalty if it's beyond 15 yards. Now it takes away... I think now it takes away the need to, like, is it pass interference? Or now that the Saints-Rams game was under 10, it was under 15 yards. It would have been an automatic first down. But so many big plays happen because of a pass interference call. If you make it 15 yards, which is what college football does, I think it takes away that incentive in some ways because now it's not quite the, hey, we're going to, you know, we're just going to throw it up deep and we're going to hope you grab our guy. Because that, what I love about pass interference is this in the NFL. They assume you're going to catch it. They assume you're going to catch it.
And to take that assumption, let's ignore the fact that what you're talking about is the offensive strategy.
Yep.
Defensively, they're teaching their players to do exactly that.
Sure.
You know? If you get beat bad... You know, prevent the touchdown. If that's your absolute, you know, last recourse, prevent the touchdown. Is it that big of a deal? I mean, to me, it's an inherent part of football. That's kind of what it should be, you know? I don't know if it's worth tweaking the penalty in and of itself, and I understand, believe me, I watched the Baltimore Ravens do this in the first half of the decade for several seasons. They love the heave and pray, you know.
Yep,
they model themselves after that.
Yep.
It doesn't mean the defender has to sell out, has to commit a penalty, but it is an option, and that is a part of the game, you know.
Yep.
A situation like that, if it's third and long and you heave something up 40 yards down the field and you commit pass interference, it's probably on you more than anything else, but it's not necessarily on the contact that you delivered before the ball arrived.
Right.
And the downside of that is the poor Saints defender who just, you know, closed his eyes and threw his head at nothing to cost himself cost his team a chance to advance him to a conference championship game. It balances itself out, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't think the rules in and of themselves need to be changed, simply because things happened in this postseason that made us, you know, outraged and right. all up in arms. I don't think that one call justifies the attention they're now paying to what happened. And I don't think any reasonably minded person would say,
right.
upon review, they would not have thrown a flag for targeting, pass interference,
right.
Helmet-to-helmet contact. Pick any one of 17 penalties that they put into the game already to cover the same situation. I don't think anybody would have disputed that. But what I'm saying is, do you need a rule to do that, or maybe do you need another official that will identify that as, you know, the penalty that's already written down?
Right.
To me, it's the more legislation you put into the game, the longer and more complicated it's going to become, and the less about football it's going to be, and the more about justice it's going to be. And
yeah.
that's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants that.
And you know what? It's okay to brainstorm around a room, but sometimes the best decision is no decision.
Exactly.
And
it's great to kick it out there. It's great that Pro Football Talk
right.
can have
that's
the
right.
front headlines of all these rules that are being discussed. I don't think they're actually discussing it. I think they're floating it to see what people will react to them. In the end, though, if you're looking at it purely from the value of the league, there isn't a rule they should change. There are rules that need to be enforced in a different way than perhaps they already were. That's what they should focus on, and that's not something that needs to be done, you know, with the public consensus.
Well, I'm going to focus on a commercial break. So, Neil, always enjoy it. Spirited, informative. You're terrific. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We'll talk to you guys.
All right, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Q, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Franston, by the way, has to take care of something with his daughter, and he's going to join us on Friday. So, the king has a flip phone now, huh?
Yeah, the old one petered out on him earlier this year, and yeah, upgraded to a different flip phone.
There you go.
I guess you can still upgrade from flip phone to another flip phone. I guess you can still do that.
All right, so let's get to the ratings here, because I want to get to the AAF in all of this. So let's get to the ratings. As soon as my little circle stops here, I'll be able to take a look at it in a larger form compared to the original document. At my age, you need the larger form.
Which you can't do with a flip phone.
No, you cannot. Let's see. Let's open this thing up here.
Yeah, there was a story that popped up today about Tom Dundon, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly
kicked,
right.
Yeah, he kicked in that $25 million to keep the AAF going. He's just concerned that...
$250 million, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, big number.
Yeah, took the zero off. But, yeah, he said that... The National Football League Players Association needs to step up a little more, or he's concerned that the AAF could fold.
Well, this is what they want. They want players 46 through 53. In other words, the guys that are in the developmental squad, and send them over. Now, my opinion, that being, to me, if it's 46 through 53, the developmental squad, then at that point, find out if the player wants to do it. They want to do it? Okay. Ratings. Duke UCF number one, 7.8. Kentucky Wofford 5.6. North Carolina Washington 5.6. Michigan Florida 5.4. Tennessee Iowa 4.3. Michigan State Minnesota 3.9. Duke and North Dakota State 3.8. LSU Maryland 3.5. Where you can get away with three steps and win. But that's been the story of the LSU season. Eyebrow raised. Auburn, Kansas, 2-7. Wofford, Seton Hall, 2-5. Kentucky, Abilene Christian, 2-4. A record for Abilene Christian basketball, I might add. Houston, Ohio State, 2-1. Then the other ones, Minnesota, Louisville, Michigan State, Iowa, UCF, Florida, North Carolina, Iowa, to 1-8. Tennessee, Colgate, at 2-1. Villanova, St. Mary's, 1-8. Oregon, Wisconsin, 1-7. So those are the top-rated shows in sports for the week. Then it's Virginia Tech, Liberty, Oregon, UC Irvine, Ohio State, Iowa State, Gonzaga, Baylor. Then the PGA Tour Valspar Championships, the first non-NCAA basketball deal at 1-6. World Figure Skating Championship 1-2. Soccer friendly between Mexico and Chile, where they shook hands repeatedly, 0-8. Valspar third round 1-0. NASCAR 0-6. Flyers Caps 0-5. Esport Finals 0-3. Esports Overwatch Semifinals 0-2. The point of that is that there's also, when you go deeper into the ratings, the AAF did beat out the NIT head-to-head. The AAF is averaging 603,000 viewers across CBS, TNT, NFL Network. There were three televised games over the weekend, but none of them topped 350,000. Again, the NCAA tournaments hurt them. The Orlando-Atlanta game drew 340, but the men's NIT drew 274. Remember, last year, the NIT did awesome. I mean, Penn State had games that were drawing over 900,000 viewers last year for the NIT. It's amazing what the brand name means. There's talk now about the AAF. I mean, are they possibly going to fold? This is week 7. Okay, Ben Kirschival, who's been awesome on this show, said, just spoke with a source, R.E. Dundon, Tom Dundon, and the future of the AAF. It was revealing. Was told that Dundon is the worst negotiator I've ever seen. More coming later. That means they're trying to get the NFLPA to do something, and they're dangling the threat of shutting the league down, and they're not going to shut the league down. The NFL is going to start up CBA talks next month. And what the AAF is hoping for, from the outside looking in, can you make a change in the CBA to allow your 56 to 53 developmental players have the option of playing in the AAF to develop? So the bottom line, it sounds like he's trying to guilt them into doing this. Okay. So while on the surface, it seems like, oh, they might be folding. I mean, I would not discount that. Every new league has to go through that. I mean, it always seems to be a threat all the time. But if he's trying to negotiate and guilt them into this, well, I don't know. that's not the way to go. It's not the way to go. Now, have I watched as much of the AAF of late? No. I've watched some. Saw some of San Diego, Arizona the other day. They went to the over-the-head cam. And you've got to give them credit. They completely missed the play, and it was a touchdown. Other than that, I thought it went really well. It went really, really well. But that's what... That's what they're talking about. Supposedly the Dundon money of $250 million was supposed to bail this whole thing out. Boy, 13 million viewers for Duke and UCF. That was the opening weekend high. And the ratings for the NCAA tournament are up 9% from a year ago. 9%. It's the highest it's been since 1991. How about that?
I wonder if you take away the amount of people that they don't follow basketball like a lot of our listeners do. They just follow it for, you know, the bracket. So I got to check, see how my team's doing with the brackets. And with betting, and with the betting factor, too. So out of that total number of people are watching it, just how many you take that group away if you're knocking off what, maybe a fourth or a third? Or
No, not quite. It's... A lot of these ratings are not just, it's not like, for example, hey, it's Flow Wrestling, I'm going to click in. Is Nickel Wrestling? No, he's not. I click out. I click on eight times to check, and he's not there. It counts as eight clicks. That's not this. Ratings, you have to be on for a while. When I mean for a while, I think you've got to be on for, 15 minutes for it to register. I think the 15-minute mark's the key number. So, I mean, people are watching. And what helps is, Duke's doing well. They're a national brand, and they've got Zion Williamson, and people want to see him. Then they're struggling to win the game.
Well, it's like what you and Dana O'Neill were talking about yesterday, and if you missed it, you can check it out on our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcast app. The brackets are, you know, quite chalky, but the thing is that we're getting really excellent tried-and-true matchups here the next couple of nights, which should set up for an even better Elite Eight over the weekend.
Right, that's what they're hoping for.
Can you imagine how bonkers the ratings will be if we get a Duke-Carolina matchup here?
Oh, in the Final Four.
Wow.
Here's the door opening right now. The door opening right now is to the possibility of Duke-Michigan State for the right to go to the Final Four. Okay, now you're talking about...
I'm in. I'll watch that.
Now you're talking about people getting excited about something. All right, we'll take a break. Wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Phillies are on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Swinging a high fly ball deep right field. Back goes Nimmo to the wall. He looks up. It is gone. Goodbye. Odubel Herrera.
Rocco swings and... belts it deep left field, and forget about that one. The birthday boy has sent one out. Mikel Franco punishing a pitch.
Your home for Phillies baseball is News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Great to have you with us on the show today, wrapping things up. I mean, the AAF outdrew the NIT. It wasn't like the NIT. Last night was Well, I mean, Saturday in the NIT is going to be a bad deal anyway because it's opposite the NCAA tournament. And you do have to play some NIT game. Remember Penn State last year had to play in that Saturday, that noon game against Notre Dame, and that thing was great. It drew like 580,000 viewers. That's not what they're drawing this time around, but they didn't have football as a competition level last year. Completely different. Completely different. In fact, I've mentioned before the cable TV rating last year actually. The Penn State Notre Dame game actually had more viewers than, you know, over the air viewers than the NCAA wrestling final had. But that's again that speaks to the popularity overall of basketball. That's why the NCAA tournament. That's why Turner and CBS have invested so much money in it because they feel that for them it's going to be a ratings winner, and it has been. Their ratings are up 8%. Very interesting. And by the way, it is the King's birthday today. I did text him. You probably did too. He is scheduled to be on the show Friday.
From Studio 22, yes. Yeah, that's how I found out that he got his new cell phone. Mobile 22, back in action.
Mobile 22.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. That's great.
That's what led me to ask him, flip phone or did you upgrade? Flip phone, last one they had, thank goodness.
Did he ask himself why it was the last one they had?
That I don't know.
He should have asked himself that. Why is this the last one?
Yeah, when the mother-in-law upgraded, I thought she was going to do the same thing. I thought she was going to go flip phone to flip phone. Now she has a stronger, more powerful iPhone than you and I have. She upgraded to an 8. I still have an original 6. They don't even make anymore.
Well, see, that's why, like, Dick Girardi, I want to say 2 years ago, suddenly out of nowhere, right, cranks out a brand-new iPhone. And he's on that thing all the time, getting stuff left and right. I said, you are certifiably dangerous with that thing. You are dangerous when it comes to that. Ah. There we go. Yeah, that's... Well, you talk about the AAF, how the AAF needs seed money and Vince McMahon doesn't. Well, that's very true. Vince does not need seed money.
Yeah, they're closing in on another WrestleMania here, not too far away, with Ronda Rousey in the main event. She walks out to the Joan Jett song from the 80s, Bad Reputation. And it was just announced that Joan Jett will perform it live when Ronda walks down the aisle for that match. And there's been a story out that this will be Ronda's final bout for WWE. Maybe she's now tempted to go back to MMA since Conor McGregor is going to retire. But just makes you wonder if he just said that and if that just is going to lead up to a big comeback, and that means more hype and more attention toward that sport. And more money that'll be funneled in from people that, yeah, I got to pay more because, hey, maybe this will be his last fight.
I have absolutely no interest in that. I don't care if it's her last fight or first fight, whatever.
Well, he's an attention grabber, that's for sure. But I guess
McGregor?
Oh, yeah, and I think maybe we know the reason why he decided to tweet out a retirement announcement. I guess there's a story out of Scotland now. I think it is Scotland, where he may be connected to an alleged sexual assault.
Yeah.
Which was learned, well, maybe a little less than 24 hours after he made that tweet about the retirement.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's awful. That's awful. Hmm. All right, let's see here. All right. I was looking up various ratings here, various sports, to see how it played out. So on Saturday, I know I'm looking ahead
to next year, but talking about the ratings increase for March Madness. If we're getting another state, and more states begin to make it easier to do, sportbook, how the ratings then will be next year for March Madness, if they will continue an upward climb.
Well, on cable, basketball was the top six. The Meg on HBO was 7. Basketball was 8. Basketball was 11. Then SportsCenter was 25. SportsCenter Weekend. NIT was 30. Fox and Friends Saturday was 37. And more SportsCenter. The Greg Gutfeld Show. Okay. Let's see. Here's the whole list. AAF football with 78. NIT, Greensboro, Lipscomb, 99. NBA postgame show.
That's great.
What I'm looking for is the NCAA Wrestling Championship. It's got to be on the list I have here. Here we go. NCAA Wrestling Championship was the 31st rated program on cable. 8 spots behind Hallmark's Love to the Rescue. A rerun of King of Queens was 24. So wrestling was 31. 625,000. That's actually a pretty good audience, to be honest with you. Ghost Adventure was 19. Kid Choice Awards was 20 on Nickelodeon. Henry Danger was 21.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.